Hey y'all, it's Jay here producing the show. We had some tech trouble and lost part of our chat at the very beginning, plus another edit around the 9-minute mark. Also, today Will Loden is out, so it's just Big Baby and Ben talking to Dan Hornstein. At this point, they're already deep into a conversation about what makes a great comic. Let's jump in and listen along.
Birdie, I don't want to talk to you. 1,000% until you live right. For like a decade. Yeah. I don't give a fuck about anything you have to say on stage. Like, you can go and do very clever, funny bits. You can be amazingly. I just don't care. It's like you haven't even lived long enough to be sad yet.
Yeah,
really sad. Yeah.
They still believe in a fairy tale of life.
You need like a 20s. Decade of hurt on a problem on one particular person to stack it. Like,
you can be.
You
I
gotta
think you
mourn
can be...
some shit for a while for me. You know what I mean?
I need to see some wrist slits.
Show me your sad live journal.
Yeah. I don't know if it's. You can be sad, but like you're not. You need to be able to be sad with consequences.
Yeah.
You know, like you need to have like
sad with consequences is elegant.
I think that's kind of what you're saying. Like, shit, I was sad when I was 15. Yeah. You know, but like I didn't have shit to be sad about because I didn't have any real consequences.
I reclassify that in my head from, oh, I wasn't sad. I was just angsty.
Yeah, that's
like,
true. That's
you have
true.
To earn real sad. Like somebody has to shuffle up this mortal coil for real sadness to be invoked. It's either death or heartbreak.
Death, heartbreak,
or drugs.
Some kind of mad. Yeah, like some sort of self-destruction.
Or oppression.
Oppression or a harsh Trump? Yeah.
I don't have that one, so.
Yeah, you notice how we leave oppression off our list.
But I've heard about it. Yeah.
Me sprinkle.
I read about it. I read that. There's that great book about it. It's called Every Bite Is a Song.
I mean, I guess it might delay us if we were the oppressors for somebody.
Yeah.
Like, well, I could see that being problematic for us.
Very.
I'd listen to somebody who was an oppressor do comedy. They've probably got a like viewpoint. I haven't heard before. If you're like 21 and actively oppressing people, all listen to your set.
Just go listen to like British comedy. That's like all it is.
It's Dad and Jimmy Carr.
It's Dad and Jimmy Carr and like the Monty Python guys. Like,
that's like the one thing that Monty Python is the one thing that makes me stop calling British people unfunny. Because clearly they have it in them.
They got it in them. So much, too.
You just have to dig so deeply.
How do you feel about like Ricky Gervais and stuff?
I think Ricky Gervais is a pompous ass.
Yeah, I don't like him either.
When he talks, it makes me want to punch him in the face. But like one out of every 10 jokes he constructs, I'm like, fuck, that was really good. I can't deny like he has writing talent.
He's good. Yeah, I'll give you that. He's a good writer. I liked him. I didn't like The Office that he did.
Either. The British version is not watchable.
I liked a couple of episodes of that show Extras that he did, and then
that's a weird fucking show.
He did that. He was on that show with the guy who was Willow, called Life's Too Short.
I did not see that, and I'm grateful.
Is it what's his name?
You have a microphone.
Is it?
I'm just saying, if you're gonna yell shit, use the microphone.
Dead air. No, he was the guy that played Willow and he was fucking R2-D2 or something in Star Wars. Anyways, it's the whole show's about him trying to get work as an actor, and he's buds with like Ricky Gervais and that other guy, and so he goes to. There's one episode I saw where he goes to see him, and these fucking what's his name from Taken walks in. Liam Neeson walks in. And Liam Neeson's all like, "Oh, I'm ready. I want to start doing comedy in my career." And he's like, breaks out this sheet of paper. He's like, "Here's the type of comedy I want to do: improvisation." Or like, "You brought a whole list." He's like, "Listen, when Steven Spielberg asked me to play Oscar Schindler, I was like, Steven, I make lists all the time." And he said, "That's exactly what I'm looking for." So that's it. I have a feeling Ricky Gervais wrote that, and that's a funny fucking show. That's a good show. So he's got his moments, but yeah, fuck. I don't like him as a person. To get over it.
There's a weird tier of like super famous comedians that I just don't enjoy at all. And I don't know if that's just my natural hatred. Cause like, I also love famous comics too. Like I'm hyped every time Chris Rock puts out a special. I want to watch everything Dave Chappelle does.
Yeah.
But like sometimes people get elevated and I'm like, fucking really? Like, I don't get Sebastian Maniscalco at all.
That's
like, not even a click.
I don't even know who the fuck that is.
It's no, like if New York vomited on an album. Like,
it, yeah, but not even in that like ranty New York kind of way. Like I know Bill Burr's not from New York, but
yeah,
but like that kind of style. Old Nick DiPaolo used to be really good at that.
I really
too.
Liked Nick DiPaolo too. That's the weird thing.
Like in the early 2000s, he was great.
When it's done well, yeah. I love like that energy.
I like people that do stuff that I don't do in stand up.
Right.
And so yeah, same thing. I'll watch Chris Rock. I didn't his last one that he did after he got the Will Smith slap. Like the last 5 minutes of that were fucking phenomenal.
See what I you just said is figure them out.
What you just said is so weird to me because my brain works the exact opposite. Like I do this shit on stage that I think is funny. And so like I watch the people who are like me because that's what I think is funny. Like people who do the exact opposite of me, I almost can't stand them because I don't understand the choices.
So there's two different sides to that opposite.
You know what I'm saying? Like I love dark shit. Give me all the Anthony Jeselniks. Like I want all of the people in my lane to see what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? Because that's why I do that shit. It's because it's what I like. But I can't even enjoy really people doing like super clean.
Okay.
Because for me, all I can see in my brain is like, oh, you're letting people put rules on you. You're letting people put boundaries around.
Oh, that's a different type of opposite.
And that's why it's just like, it's just, I don't do that shit. I don't watch that shit. It's weird. But for you to be like, oh, I like to watch the people who do like the opposite of what I do is fascinating to me.
So the problem that I get is when I watch people that do the same style of humor as me, I catch myself getting into like Jeselnik's a great example. I tried watching one of his last specials and I was trying to guess his punchlines too much. And like a couple of times I was right, which was like in my head I was like, okay, great, but also do better. like, come on, dude. I'm a glorified open micer, man. You got more than that in you.
Wow, that's unkind to you.
And so I that's my problem. I get too much into like I want to watch the guys that do the stuff like that I do and try to deconstruct it too much or try to anticipate it or try to break it down. Whereas like when I watch people that don't do that, I can just sit back and enjoy it a little more.
Right. See, like when I do, I'm more of a storytelling. So when I watch storytellers, I critique it too much. It's like when you're in a movie, once you're in a movie and you go home and watch a movie, you start watch how many times it takes to shoot that scene type shit. So when I watch people who do set up punch, I watch them to figure out how do you manage these transitions?
Yes.
How do you deal with the repetitive? How do you remember the cue?
Producer Jay here with another cut. We lost a bit here where they turned from discussing comics they admire to delving into the art of roasting and how some comics might not take it well.
They're getting expensive. It's my third one.
I ain't even know my insurance information. Can you imagine having to call your mom and tell her you just broke your ass? Awkward.
From trash talking.
Telling her a black man broke your ass was crazy.
A black man broke my ass, mom.
A black man broke my ass in college.
Yeah, college. And then she goes, same but different. Same.
There's like 50 people watching.
Same.
A shiver goes
told
over
you
her
don't
body.
Not pledge that fraternity. <You're> like,
oh my God, Robert, it's happened. Told you not to put him in the Boy Scouts.
The Boy Scouts.
Oh, come on.
Oh, shit, man.
Girl Scouts sell tag-alongs. The Boy Scouts do tag-alongs. The difference.
Can you imagine like a worse fate than being a Catholic Boy Scout? Because now you're getting it like... Imagine you're a Catholic Boy Scout with a bad uncle. Now you're getting it home and away. And
you are a fucking survivor, boy. That motherfucker need to play running back. If he leave out of that shit unscathed, they need to sign him now to the Houston Texans.
I'm just saying.
Because that boy is elusive.
Imagine not even slippery. Knowing who to snitch on first.
He was like, man, I shit. Bro. Well, Camp Leader gave me a ride home when it was raining. Uncle took me trick-or-treating, but I got baptized by the priest. Who do I? I'm snitching on priests first.
You know what? Something I was. This is part of the reason I don't do crowd work very often. I had somebody like try to yell out the crowd about that joke I do about the time I drank a roofie.
Yeah,
and she's like, actually, that's not funny. I've been sexually assaulted on two separate occasions, and before I could catch myself, I was like, which guy was better?
Fucked them up.
From what you remember.
Honestly, yeah. Because like, even though both aren't good, one of them is, like, you have to rank them. You can't have two simultaneous. If you have to pick, you can't have two simultaneous worst days of your life.
Which one are you going to go with?
Yeah. And that's why I shouldn't ask people questions, because like, those are not the things you're allowed to learn about crowds.
Or people in general. Which one of your rapers was more gentle?
Like, did one of them
the Virgo?
That's my fucking nightmare with crowd work too, man. Like,
oh, never mind.
Catching those double rape
somebody
victims?
Gives me a roofie. Like, you don't want people to misinterpret what the joke is and go, oh, that's not funny, this really awful thing happened to me, because then you're like, well, fuck, you know, I mean, you're a good enough comic, you can dig out of that.
Yeah, and like, my whole set is basically awful things happening to somebody.
That's
so
true.
There's not like,
yeah, it's a tone.
It's a tone. So like, you should be able to, so that's the other thing about it. You're so good about getting into like, this is the act. This is all it is. So that, hey, if this one bothers you, don't worry. Yeah. There's something for everybody.
Theory is why I always open up with that joke about 8-year-olds eating cum. Because it's a base, like, you can't be mad at me about a cancer joke. You laughed at that.
Yeah, exactly.
I can always come back and be like, you let me go here.
It's exactly
you can't draw a line here later.
Yeah. It's like, I saw an interview one time with the two guys that do South Park, and they had such a good way of saying it. There was like some Charlie Rose or some shit they were doing, and they were being asked, you know, how far is too far for you guys? And they were like, we can't. You know, we can't say, oh, this topic's off limit.
Nah.
This is the one that's too far. We can't go there. Because the minute we do, we become bigots about everything else that we've done.
Everything else.
Now, there are topics I will avoid because I haven't found a joke that's worth the squeeze yet.
That's, yes.
But it's not that I'm unwilling to go there. I just haven't found the way to go there yet.
That's the number one thing. Is as long as it's funny,
yeah.
Shit.
It has to be worth it. You have to be sure.
You're in such a cool place because like, if you chart it out like on a graph, there's the like dark subject matter to funny. Mm. And like, the darker it goes, the funnier the punchline has to be, and you're smart enough. One of the things I like about watching you is you're good enough that you recognize that, so you choose smart punchlines and you don't go for like really easy ones.
The low-hanging fruit.
Yes, exactly.
People think I do shock, but I more do surprise.
It's misdirection. It's all tension and misdirection and release, and that's what good comedy is. You're just choosing to do it in a darker kind of place.
While we're talking about styles, one of the things I want to talk to you about is like, of most people I watch, when things aren't going well for you, you're the most stay in your lane, double down, this is me person.
Oh man.
And I respect that so much.
It's because I suck at crowd work.
It's also like, I've seen you do a joke, know halfway through the joke it was gonna bomb.
Yeah.
Like, it was your Family Matters joke.
Yes.
And I've seen you, when it bricked the first time, repeat the punchline, have the punchline brick a second time, and repeat it a third time before you moved on. And I'm sitting here like, You know they're not missing it. You're just
fuck the airplane. Bitch, open your mouth.
You're the only other person I've seen hate fuck crowds that way.
I love it because you're like, you are so good at being so bad at comedy.
That was so funny.
It's not even a bad thing to me. It's just always being yourself. And I respect you don't try to change the type of who you are because that crowd doesn't like it.
Yeah.
And I like
man.
To think I don't either.
No, you don't. No, I don't think any either three of y'all don't.
It's
nah, not really.
His show in a white room is his show in a black room. It might be a couple of different jokes, but he's the same comic anywhere you put him, and you are that. Like, I may not know which one of your jokes you're gonna do, but your style and your voice is defined.
Oh man, I appreciate that.
Your voice is crazy. I fuck with your voice. You really need it. I feel like you didn't get into like voiceover work a lot more, cause I feel like you would take off and blow in that shit. Cause the energy in your voice is your comedy, G. And when I don't even have to watch your set, I could just hear your shit and laugh.
That's
because I your voice is you. Like that's just who you are.
You understand inflection better than a lot of people.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I appreciate that. That means a lot, man. Thank you.
Like, I would have had you on this podcast a long time ago. It's just, it's a weed-based podcast, and I know you're not particularly weed-based.
I can talk about how I used to smoke weed.
Welcome to, it's not like that. It's just like, I don't like bringing people into my apartment, because obviously you smell the apartment. Like, people who don't smoke, it can stun people.
Yeah, if you're not ready for it, you can.
He come here and immediately lose his job.
I do.
Welcome to be a black.
They asked me like if they drug test me tomorrow, I'd just be like, I was at a concert or something.
Is that a concert, sir?
Yes.
What's the vibe on Ben's podcast? Snoop's dressing room. It's just shit.
Oh man, shit's crazy, man.
I love comedy so much though, man. Like I fucking it's one of my favorite it's my favorite thing to do.
How long you been doing it, Dan?
This is like 8 years now. You know? It's 8 years in. I was thinking about this the other day. I don't know if I'm ever gonna get famous doing this. I don't know if I'm ever gonna get make it like a career even, like if I'm ever going to be at that level, but god damn it, I love it and I really want to be good at it, you know. And that's the thing, I love talking shop with people. This is what I was reminded of. I was gonna ask you guys this earlier when we were talking about watching specials and even watching people that are different than you. I get this, and I have this bad habit where like I'll watch a special, doesn't matter who it is, and then like 3 weeks later I'll be like, oh my god, I have the best fucking idea for a joke. Yeah. This is such a good joke. And it's directly from what I just watched.
I like letting other people's specials inspire my topics. Because for
that's
me,
great. Yeah.
It's like, oh, you gonna come out and have a trans joke? Let me see if I can write a better one. Let me see if I can write something like different angle, different completely from you, but if this is the subject we're talking about, let's see if I can speak on that subject. And that gives me like lanes to talk into things that I don't normally address, because I'm like, oh well, if he's talking about this shit, fuck it, I'll see if I can throw one too.
Hell yeah.
That's also how I feel when celebrities die. Like sometimes I don't really want to, but it's just like, fuck it, if everybody else is gonna do an OJ joke, I'm gonna throw like three out there. Like,
see if I can be the best one.
Yeah. I just wanna win the day. Like I'm not gonna use
a lot
this
of really
shit
bad
ever.
OJ
like,
jokes, by the way.
I had that same
I threw
problem.
Three of them.
You
like,
do?
I can't watch, like I watched the Earthquake special when it came out. Earthquake got the same type of story, day to day story life, some shit that we take regular and make it extreme, and you be like, god damn. And I watched it a while ago, and then I went and did Houston as Fuck, and I got a guest spot, and they just like threw me up there. So I was freestyling, you know, fucking around my first little 5 minutes, and I did a spot. I did a joke where I fall asleep when I snore, da 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 da, and the goldfish be on the glass, like, wake that nigga up. Shit's hilarious. Crowd rocked it. That took me to the next room, next level. I was in there, yeah, let's go. And then I got home, and I'm like, I heard that before. Keisha Hunt was on me worst. Like, that was some funny shit. Nigga, after you did that, everybody was like, hey, man, that shit was dope. And then I got home. I'm like, the whole time, the more they said, so I'm like, Nah, bro. I got the home. I kept looking for it on YouTube, and I was like, I can't find it on YouTube. So I had to rewatch the whole fucking special. And clear as day, here he is, hands on the glass, goldfish. Like, wake that motherfucker up. I'm like,
fuck.
I was so fucking mad. But
bro, all you can do is act on good intention.
Yeah.
That's it.
Because we all take in comedy way more than the average person.
Yeah.
You catch 100 shows by accident just on the shit you booked on.
Being listening in.
And it's impossible not to absorb some shit subconsciously. The only thing worse than what happened to you is what happened to me. I had a joke that was original. I fucking loved it. It was doing well. I 6 months I was working this joke on the road. Turn on it. Oh, what's his fucking Michael Che?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Word for word, same bit. It wasn't an easy place to get to, but there was a thing about like Sesame Street put their first autistic Muppet on Sesame Street, and my whole bit was like, so you're trying to tell us the purple one with the cape hasn't been autistic this whole time? That's
funny. That's really, I didn't hear that. That's funny.
Yeah, it was fucking great. And then he does the same thing. We even have the same, like,
Gonzo that hangs out with chickens.
Yeah. Like, I'm all for representation, but like, let's not,
like, you've already done it. Yeah,
let's not rewrite history.
That's so funny.
Sure, and then word for word in his fucking special, it's that bit. And I'm like, I lost my autistic Muppet joke, because now if I tell it, people are gonna be like, oh, I heard that on the Michael Chase special. And I'm like, no, but I have tapes. But you can't save it because somebody else got it to a special first.
It's that. I've had jokes that I'll punch out and throw on. I like to test jokes online, like with social media. And if it does okay, or if I like the wording of it, that's kind of like a good test. Like, okay, I could try that on stage. And sometimes I'll do something, and then a couple weeks will go by, and I'll see it as a meme or something like that too. And I go, okay, you know, that's fine for online, but
yeah,
you know, I'm just not gonna.
I also hate it. You know, when you write something and then you see it like 12 other places, like, okay, just because nobody else wrote it first, I just went to the lowest hanging branch.
It's like, a lot of, like, usually if that's the other thing about it is if the joke's like an easy punchline, then it's probably done. Somebody's already done it. You know, that's a good gauge.
I did a cool show that was popping in. I was supposed to be doing a set about something. I can't remember what the other topic was. But I ended up talking about Trump sneakers, like, off the dome, just ripping.
Yeah.
First off, I got to talk shit about Rich in the corner. So that set the crowd up because he's ugly. So that got him laughing first. And then I came
shout
out
Rich Williams and his website, www.yourfavoriteafrican.com.
Yeah. Shout out to Rich Williams.
Favorite African.
The other favorite African. No, just the
AK. That website will get you the riches.
Will it?
Yeah.
No, really?
I own the domain name.
Oh, that's hilarious, dude. That's so good.
That's petty as fuck.
That's so funny, man.
I paid $30 a year to do that shit.
That's super cheap.
I know. Every year when they're in there,
okay.
It makes me so happy to click that button on GoDaddy.
If it was any more than that, than 30, I'd be like, Ben,
doing too much. it's beyond petty now.
But like 30, I'm like, that's doable. That's yeah. The right level.
You
want
to give me $2.50 a month to tilt somebody for a year?
Dude, yes. That's so funny.
If it was at like, I want to say like $32.04 a year,
yeah.
I'd be like, y'all should just fight.
Just duke it out.
Yeah. Just get a man his fucking website. Slap him for a duel or something.
We've never even had a conversation about it. I don't even know if he knows.
He can't
possibly.
I don't think he knows. Yeah.
I want to do like a head-to-head like comedy battles again.
Man, comedy fights would be so great. Just like 10 on 10 minutes. Just
I want to double it down. I want to do like 10 behind 10 behind 10 behind 10. See if you can follow each other. So one comic come, I do 10. The other comic comes, do 10. The first comic comes back, I do another 10.
I love that idea.
Another comic comes back, do another 10.
Do you give them any type of break in between, like for rounds?
No, it's just straight.
I love it.
And you guys, and it comes with like bragging rights. You can call each other out. Hey, these two have been talking shit online. You're going to see these two thug it out on stage. And they're going to do the 10 behind 10 by 10, or they can do friendly, or we can do whatever.
Yeah. So who in Houston goes first?
I know I'm going first. Whoever want to call me out.
Okay.
Out. But I definitely want to run that show and be the host and the da da da. I want to be the shit talk. I want to go ahead and ante the crowd up. Like, hell that yeah. Nigga was funny, wasn't he? Talking all that shit. I don't know why he challenged him tonight. I hope that second 10 got something. Let's go. I want to be like the smack
like a referee and commentator at the same time.
Here's the thing. You know who I want, and I want to go first. So I can go out there, and I can spend my first 2 minutes doing his whole act. I'm going to just go out there like, what's up with all my Mexican people?
Oh, dude. I know who you're talking about.
Where are my white people at? Where are my Hispanic people at?
Yeah.
See, Houston don't have an edge to their comedy, man.
Oh,
Houston is just so inclusive with comedy. We don't have nothing where it's like,
we too friendly.
We used to be mean.
Yeah, like, you can't come here. Like, you
can't. We should have a place where you We used to be a lot meaner when I first started. Like, comics were not nice.
Yes, sir.
We need
Have you ever done Ocean Avenue? Have you done, like, a lot of black room before?
No. Can I tell you, though?
We need Duck Off. Tell me.
I did. I never got to do Duck Off, but I did. I've done. I think I did Carrington's once a long time ago.
That sounds like
what was Al's room that he had for a little bit?
The
seafood restaurant, Phil and Derek's. I used to go there, and then but this 2 weeks ago, I did a show for Stacey Anderson.
Mm-hmm. Mo City.
Off of Bel Air. It was off Bel Air. It wasn't in Mo City. It was off Bel Air.
Sugars, huh?
No, it was a new room that she's got. It was a Mexican restaurant at 7 p.m. on a fucking Saturday night.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And they sold it out.
Yeah.
The whole room. It was all black crowd. And to Ben's point from earlier, I got up there. I was like, okay, I'm just going to be Dan. I have no other choice. And I had such a great set. Like, they were such a good crowd. They were awesome. Laughing in all the right spots. It was so much fun. And I got home and I texted somebody. I forgot who. It might have been like Chad Alexander or something. And I was like, hey, I feel like I'm a better comic now because I did really good in the black room.
Yeah.
Like, it felt a little more earned. Yeah, I don't know.
It does.
Right? I don't know how else to say it, but it was
harder.
It was
black people consume comedy different.
Black people are just so honest.
It's easier,
in
but
those
it's
rooms.
Harder.
It's
easier because you don't have to fight for their attention.
That's
if you're
true.
The one white person in the room, you have a 2.5 minute grace period where they're watching you.
That's true.
Right.
And if you can just jump on that 2.5 minutes, all right, it's going to be an easy time.
That was the goal. It was okay. I was nervous up until like the first laugh. Mm-hmm. And then once I got the first laugh, which is generally how it is for me, I'm nervous every time I go up on stage. But like once I get that first laugh, then I start to settle in. I'll start to slow down. Mm-hmm. I'll get more of my rhythm. These guys were just, they were such a good crowd. One guy was there, he's like for his bachelor party and stuff, hanging out. And they were just, it was so much fun. But that's the thing I like is when I've done black rooms before, black rooms are just, they're honest. You know, they won't give you a sympathy laugh just because they don't want to hurt your feelings or anything like that. They'll just, that's just not funny. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or it is funny and you're going to get a laugh. I will say this, though. My absolute favorite, like the best thing that can ever happen to me if I'm performing in front of a black audience is if I hear one person at least one time in the audience kind of under their breath go, that boy's stupid. Then in my head, I'm like, all right, we're doing good. We're right where we're supposed to be.
That's
a
huge problem.
Yeah.
Ignorant, I'll also accept.
Ignorant.
You childish.
That's stupid.
That motherfucker ignorant.
I heard one time at the improv, I was like, stupid. And I wanted to find that guy after and be like, man, thank you. Get me. Like,
thank you. I appreciate you, homie.
Let's hug it out.
I bombed in a black room because I've been whitewashed lately.
Been traveling.
Hanging out in Montrose too much?
Yeah. Yeah.
Too much Will Loden.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got booked at Swaggers and went in that hole and ate shit. Like, it was, they hyped me up. Oh, you going across state line doing roast battles and talking to the king. I ain't going to call him Roast King just yet, but I'm going to. I got up there. It was some regular lady, man. I was just going around the room like I do, and then I jump into my set. Man, this lady would not let me go. And apparently she do this, and everybody just sat back and watched her do it. They was like, handle her. And I'm like, this bitch got a blade in her jaw. Like, I'm not, I'm not fucking with this. See, I'm a strong believer in that. You know, when we was all in school, we knew where the special people was. All of them got high school diplomas, too. They just out here. Having kids, going to bars, going to swaggers.
You're right. Watching ain't my no comedy. Separate classrooms for these people no more.
Nah, ain't no separate. Everybody's just
out amongst us.
Nobody knows.
Some of them are comics.
I was going to say, hiding in plain sight at open mics. Recording specials their very first year in the game. I'm sorry.
It is crazy because once you think of that, you kind of got to like, I got to take my foot off the gas when I start roasting people when I notice it. I be like, oh, there's something wrong with you. You're not really comprehending that I'm playing. You really think that I'm verbally abusing you.
Yeah.
So then I got to take the foot off the gas and try to switch the subject because I don't want to cause it to be bigger. But then that make me look like a bitch and it bombs the whole energy of the room, especially when they still going. So I really now have to go back and take your head off. And now you mad already. You already loud. I got a microphone and you don't. So now that I'm taking your head off and I'm making them laugh louder than you talking, oh, your shit finna explode in my hand now. Now you really pissed off. And it just turned into a whole thing outside. It's happened before. And I don't like that life. I'm no longer in my 20s.
Yeah, I'm no.
I'm a park close by the building and leave immediately type comic now because people are fucking crazy.
Crazy, bro. And I don't have time to be fighting and shooting and biting people because I'll bite the fuck out of somebody there on my ass. Like, hey, man, I can't breathe.
I have no choice but to fight as dirty as I can. Like there is nothing fair.
There's no such thing as a fair fight.
No, I have one move. It's called kick you in the nuts and run. And that's the best that I got.
Give me back my phone. Bro, I don't know you.
I'll tell you,
that's my only move, dude.
I can tell you I'm going to get a producer pissed off at me soon because I found a new trick for gigs I have that are $50 or less and it's worked twice so far. If you book me at a gig for $50 or less and you pay me up front, at some point early in the set, I'm going to do this thing where I'm like, look, y'all need to understand something. I'm getting paid $50 to do this. So if there's anything I'm doing that you don't like, then I'll put a hat on the table. $51 gets it done.
Nice.
I'll leave right the fuck now.
Yeah.
And
for
twice,
everyone else, I can keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. And twice. People have paid me twice and I've left.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
He's like, you're really going to leave mid-set? I'm like, yeah, you paid me. He paid me. Fuck y'all. I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out, cuz.
That's strong.
They outbid you.
That's strong. Yeah.
Right now. That's crazy as shit.
It's so fun.
I don't know how
they
you
laugh at it. Like 90% of the time they think I'm joking and they laugh at it and it's a great moment. And then sometimes I get paid twice and go home early. And it's a great moment.
That's like that's when you start to transition into more of that almost like performance art shit like Drew Holloway does. You know, I used to love watching that kid. I wish he'd move back. He would do like
he's at the secret group so much I don't feel like he's gone.
I haven't seen him in a while. I just haven't been
Drew Holloway.
There.
I keep
Drew
catching
Holloway.
Drew.
Yeah, he lives up in San Marcos now.
I think I just saw Drew at the Riot for the festival.
How was the festival? I didn't go.
The festival, I went for my show.
Yeah, we went for You Look Like, and that's it.
Okay.
Blew the roof off that bitch. That fuck was so
hell
nice.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that energy in the room was, we can definitely tell it was the first time that energy was in the room.
That's awesome.
Like, even the comics that was from out of town was like, hey, what the fuck is this? And it was like, what the fuck is this show? Who's doing that? Like, how do you get on this? And I'm like, hey, this is Brian shit. And they was like, fuck. Paris Lachey asked me, you know, the lesbian chick with the shades on and the nice little fade. She walked up to me and she was like, hey, man, what the fuck is this shit? How you do the spot in between? I said, we usually run this shit like every month, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
But this one is just for the festival, so he booked it, da-da-da. She was like, this shit dope as fuck, bro. I'm like, hell yeah, I like that. I like when black people come in and be like, it's all white people on this bitch, but this hoe wrong.
Right.
Like, and it's crazy because I can't get no black people to win. That's crazy as shit.
That's wild. You look like, man,
You got to do better than J-Rock if you go hit him through me, bro.
These guys stop talking like they ready.
I abused this dude. He gave up mid-battle.
Fucked him up.
Y'all he was so mad they cut him off though, 30 dude. Seconds early. And I'm like, hilarious. one more joke.
We got to do rapid fire on him. He bad. He fucked up the whole format. Like, it was called You Look Like.
Yeah.
He was like, you look like you. He said something like, your teeth so fucked up, you eat pussy through a straw.
Oh, that's old. Yeah, he's going old school street
old
jokes.
Old school street,
yeah.
Not in format jokes.
Right.
Like, and none of them hit. I would have stopped after the first one not hit and hearing me scream in the background, you look like. Like, I would have stopped then, but he kept going and he immediately kept punching him. I just kept hitting him.
He's just,
that like, show, I got to give you guys credit, man. That show has been.
No.
I look at all the Riot stuff on Instagram. Like, it's, I know y'all know this. It's across the board. Like, the most views on all of their reels are You Look
YouTube
Like. It's
too.
You Look Like clips.
People YouTube, like TikTok. Mean shit.
Yeah. They do. The people that are good at it are creative with it, too. I haven't done that show. I haven't reached out. Will's asked me a couple times, like, when are you going to come do You Look Like? I'm so bad at that I don't want to waste. I don't want to, like, sully the waters
the
of the
reason,
show.
Like, Kenjamin doesn't do it. He's like, it's not my thing. It's not my, like, it's not a thing I enjoy doing. I'm not good at it. It's just not my platform.
What I feel like that. Is there's more people that are afraid of the knife rather than holding the knife. You know what I'm saying? Everybody don't mind sword fighting. But some people just don't want to get stabbed. Like, I swore fight with you, just don't stab me. You put your knife down.
Right. Yeah.
And that's kind of how people are. But with this, I had to, like, even with Keisha Hunt, she didn't want to do it. I had to talk her into it. Like, it's a comedic muscle.
Yeah, it
like,
is.
Like, this is a different it type is. Of writing. This is you literally looking at somebody and seeing if you can convince a group of people that they look like they do this.
Yeah. I will
like,
tell you, as a writing exercise, it's a really good shift. If you're stuck with writer's block on your regular set, and you just like take an hour and just write roast jokes.
Okay.
And then the shift back, you find new angles.
Switching back, that's it.
Yeah.
Because it takes you out of yourself. It takes you out of anything. Go ahead, sorry, Jay.
I was just gonna say, it might even convince you that you could do it if you sat and did some writing on it. The writing process might be the thing that makes you go, hey.
It could,
That's something I actually do have a muscle for, or I need to build that muscle up.
Or work it out.
I would love to see what you and Chad did with it, because you're both generally nice and kind of out of left field. Like, you versus him would be such an eclectic battle that I think it would be...
like a nice
He'd be good match. At it. Chad's weirdly good at roasting.
How about a nice grudge match?
Yeah.
Like, you know, Pat Stay and what's her name had
a compliment rap, battle.
Yeah, a compliment battle.
Rone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do I know Underground Street
Somebody
Legends?
Did that. Was that Andy Samberg did that on, like, one of the Comedy Central roasts?
And we could do
I
like
I forgot
a,
who he
like
was, but
he's,
he gets up there. He's like, so-and-so's here. He's a terrific Dude, father, a you piece of shit. Like,
that would be dope. We need to throw one of those in as a switch a gears.
Little, yeah, that would be a dope-ass little twist. We did the old guy, young dude.
Will would be great at that because he doesn't like being mean anyway.
Yeah. I want to do like...
I like your idea about the 10-minute set.
Oh, yeah.
Like
that's
grudge
a big
match.
Bit. He already ripped that shit down. We're gonna.
That's a really good show
let's
idea.
Let's talk that out.
I like that a lot.
I pitched it to Secret Group, and Secret Group was like, how are they going to decide a winner? I'm like, crowd.
The crowd
like,
picks.
Oh, no. We won a roast battle. We was like, no.
And then they're like,
yeah. Do no more roast battles,
I've pitched
battles,
a couple
bro.
Ideas to Secret Group before, and I just don't think they like a lot of the outside ideas.
Nah.
My idea that I had, we have enough, there's enough comics in Houston that are really good musicians that I've found that you could do half comedy, half concert.
Yeah.
And the way you run it is you just have all the gear, everything's all set up, but everybody comes out, does like 10 minutes, but you introduce them as what they're playing. You know, tonight on drums, Big Baby Green, right?
Yeah.
Big Baby Green comes out, you do 10 minutes, then you get to go back behind the drum kit, then whoever else is on guitar, bass, keys, whatever you want to have. And I'm, you know, if you have somebody that's good at singing, and then whoever's, when you're done, everybody, you play three or four songs that you learn together and then you're done. And it can be covers. Who cares? You know, it doesn't have to be like you got to write anything.
It's a
once
dope
a month
concept.
Show.
People
yeah.
would come for that shit.
I think it would well, be a lot of fun to do. I pitched it to Secret Group. They weren't into it. They were like, comedy and music don't mix. I was like, what?
All right. So let me tell you my Secret Group pitch. It's a show called Security. What we do is you book it like a normal lineup. And the two youngest comics that's in the guest spot, You make them do 5 minutes heads up at the top of the show against each other. And the crowd votes. And whoever loses has to go stand in the parking lot and be security so our cars don't get broken into. All of us.
I like that.
The show starts at 1 a.m. Yeah.
Oh, shit. That's funny as shit. We're going to put McKenzie out there. Get your happy ass out there in that parking lot and be happy.
I just want to put like a guard tower and toss Drake Campbell up in it.
Excuse me, you're stealing a vehicle.
This is not your car. This is not the car I've seen you get out of. This is no.
Dress him up in the cape like the Sesame Street guy.
You have to listen to me. I was on Kill Tony.
I was on Kill Tony. You should respect my comedy. I was like, all right, that was cringe.
So funny. How do you guys feel about Kill Tony?
I mean.
I wouldn't mind doing the show just because I wanna see if I could do it.
It's dope that people get a platform. Dope that people get exposure. But if I can say this about all the people who have been successful on Kill Tony, respectfully, anybody can fuck for a minute. I don't care that you can fuck for a minute. It means nothing.
Yeah.
It means you found one workable joke.
Yeah.
Succeeding on Kill Tony basically means you can pick one of your jokes that work. Other than that, it doesn't tell me a fucking thing, except you can let some skinny white dude call you gay.
It's a circus act.
You can tolerate that, and you can stand outside for 4 hours, and you can do a minute.
That's it.
That's all you learn from Kill Tony. And you know what? Dope. I watch the shit. It's enjoyable as fuck. Is. But as a mark for a comic, it doesn't mean a fucking thing.
I like watching it only on the episodes that I know somebody's on it.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, all right, good for you. You know?
Yeah. Like, I loved it when Will got the pop. Like, I enjoy Enrique in costume.
Enrique's doing so good. I saw his last one where he was on with Tucker Carlson.
Yeah.
Dude, he killed it, man. Yeah. And that's a good kid. I want to see him do really well.
The problem is, like, while Enrique's blowing up, he's also blowing up.
Enrique's been blowing up since the pandemic.
I'm so happy for him, though, because, like, that kid,
but, like, he can't take another 50 pounds of success.
No, dude, but he's gained so much weight that you could tell he's like genuinely happy or really depressed.
Yeah.
And I can't tell which it is. And that's such a fun story to watch.
Before pandemic, once everybody came back outside, oh, he looked like the gingerbread man.
Dude, I remember when he started, he was tiny.
Yeah, he was small.
He was a small little.
He was poquito.
Yeah.
Yes.
He wasn't even sweating that hard. And then now I see his face on all these random ass flyers. I'd be like, God damn.
The flyers are wet.
It's all love, Enrique. It's all love. You're my boy, too, but fuck.
You just sweated through the printing press. How did you do that?
How did you make my Facebook screen moist? I
scroll by your ass, my phone short out.
I gotta put your fucking flyer in rice to read it. Like,
put it in rice. That's hilarious.
Shout out to Enrique Chacon. Please book me on Don't Tell. Please book me on Don't Tell. The real one.
Come on, man.
I need something. Hey, it's my time. Let me get that. I can see who else been on that motherfucker, man. Come on. Come on, man. Let me get that hoe, bro. Somebody I've seen the niggas that been on that hoe. Has anybody in this room been on the real one?
Nah.
Or we've all been on the Mason one.
I've been on the one Enrique books, yeah, but it's been like a year.
I have not either.
The last one we did, he did a really good job. He had just moved to Austin, he came back, and I like that the concept.
And here we are again at another edit point where I lost audio. Now they're starting to realize that something went wrong. And they're stopping their conversation about how it is to get booked on shows. And while they realize that my audio cut out, they're trying to figure out what it is to say to make it sound like we cut for a good reason. And Ben decides that we're going to put in an audio edit point here for some maybe profane language. Let's see what he has to say.
Editing budget for this week, so... No more gay slurs, guys.
Wait, you sucked his dick? What?
To completion?
And I still didn't get booked. Yeah.
They call it don't tell, Dan.
You're not supposed to tell how you get
That's hilarious.
Spot.
Don't ask, don't tell comedy.
Y'all were talking about Enrique. I've got him coming up in June.
Hell yeah.
He'll be down here in Humble.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
We have Enrique coming in his own month.
If you have any extra spots on that show, I would even like a guest spot. I just want to come hang out with Enrique for a bit.
It's a black room.
That's fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
We just went through that. They love me. I know. never had a bad time. I get it. There's going to be the worst bomb ever.
Ever. You spoke it. I kind of got to do that now where I say if I'm too nervous, I'd be like, man, I'm finna bomb like a motherfucker. And then I end up murdering. Right. So sometimes you got to just take that out. Yep, you about to bomb. Okay. And then you get up there, you're like, no, I'm not. And then you kill.
Sometimes I'm due for like a good bomb. And yeah. Bombing to me is it's a really good health check for me because what it does is it checks my ego.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like just when I think like, oh, I'm getting good or, oh, I've got this or I'm on a streak or whatever, I will bomb so fucking hard that it's like, no, you better go write some good jokes, dude. Like you need to sit down and really put pen to paper.
Well, like there's this expression in poker. And it's held true through all my life. Like, if you look at somebody who plays poker for a living and you ask them about the biggest hands of their life, you don't remember the hands you win.
Oh,
I don't. Like, I've been playing poker since 2003, mostly for a living. I couldn't tell you more than two hands that I want. I can give you crystal clear details on 100 that I've taken brutal beats on.
Okay.
And for me, comedy works the same. I've had over 500 shows, but there's never been a week of my life where I haven't thought about what happened to me in Abilene, Texas, and how fucking much I wanted to kill myself afterwards.
Dude, that's it. Or like, even if the whole crowd's laughing and one person's not, it's that one person.
It's never going
away. I will zero in on them.
See, I love that one person. I love them so much.
I love it if I can win. If I can make it, if I can crack them, then I feel like $1 million.
That's where my fuck it really kicks in. Because if he's not laughing, but everybody else is, now I'm going to make everybody else laugh at you.
Can I tell you my worst one-person defeat?
Yeah.
So I'm booked at some club in Waco that doesn't exist anymore. Slapsticks.
Okay.
And we're doing two shows. The first show... promoted the fuck out of it, sold 17 tickets. So I was familiar with everyone in the room. Front table to the right, all 20 minutes. There's this woman just sitting there with her arms crossed the entire time, just shaking her head at every fucking thing I do. Doesn't like me. Doesn't like Jesse. Sits there. Jesse says at the end, you're welcome to stay for the second show. It'll be $15 additional tickets, but we're not doing new jokes. So in between the first and second show, she comes to the merch table and comes up to me and goes, I just want you to know you're really not funny. And she goes like, there's people who are going to get better, but you're never going to be good. And then buys tickets to the second show.
Man.
It's front row center. Except this time she's got a backpack full of margarita that's got a little camelback straw just running through her mouth. And she's just hearing a joke, taking a big sip.
Nope.
She would say nope.
She would say nope.
Oh, dude, that's the worst.
In this
show, that's so bad.
There's only 12 people in the room. So there's even less places where I can go and hide. And it's just like the whole time I'm sitting there watching my career just die for 40 minutes, staring at this bitch. I'm like, you know that David Koresh fellow had a point.
That's right.
I too want to torch this whole fucking city.
That's fucking crazy.
Tell me you said that. That's a great line.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nah,
you know which who, I know she didn't laugh.
Nobody did. You know who doesn't like Waco compound jokes?
People in Waco. People in Waco. But at that point, dude, that's all out war, you know? I've only ever lost it on
she paid
an audience member like once or twice. Yeah.
To come at me twice. And I'll just never. Like that and the white lady calling me the N-word men said have been the most off put I've ever been on stage.
That is, I don't know.
I don't even know if I'm allowed to be offended. like the moral quagmire you're in when that happens to you. Wow. I don't know what move to make next, but like eight of them feel racist. I didn't create the situation, but I'm in it now.
See, I've seen comments get heckled and crumble. I wouldn't even say crumble. I've seen some like try to ignore the heckler.
That's usually what I do.
While the heckler's still heckling.
Oh.
And get off stage and cry.
Oh.
And they're like, this is why I don't do, cause this is why I don't do shows in, it's not comedy clubs, man. Cause this. And then watch another comic go right behind them and make the heckler leave. The heckler gets up and leave. And I'd be like, that's what you're supposed to do with a microphone. Yeah. It's not even so much as being mean to that person, but let's just put the spotlight on you for a minute since you want it. What do you do for a living? Why are you here and mad?
Yeah.
Let's figure this out. And if I can get everybody else to turn you into a piece of shit, oh, I'm finna rock this bitch with no jokes off my list.
It's like, to me, I look at it, I was a college baseball pitcher. To me, every set is just like an at bat. You're throwing your shit at the crowd. Yeah. It's either going to hit or it's not. And when That's you get it. A heckler, it's like, okay, sometimes they're going to win.
Yep.
Sometimes you're going to hang one. They're just going to crush it. It's going to throw off your set. You're going to take the L. Yep. But like, I'm a pitcher, man. I've thrown to 600 batters this year. Who gives a fuck about that one?
Yeah.
It's weird how it sticks with you. I've never been heckled badly. I've been really lucky. Like, and I think part of it is the presentation. It's my jokes. It's how I carry myself on stage. I get people talking to me. That's different. And typically I can ignore that, especially if they're just, if it's somebody that's having fun and I can see that that's just how they're like engaging with the show. Then I'm very fine with that. And I can ignore that. I have one guy I ended up taking what he said and working it into a joke, and it worked out beautifully. I did a joke, the joke where I say, like, I thought Amber Alerts were for missing strippers. And this guy was drunk in the audience at Secret Group one night, and he just goes, Mercedes. Weirdest fucking heckle I've ever had. But I worked it into a tag.
Yeah.
And it actually is now, that's the funnier part of the joke.
Real life. That's a real life concept. They could think of Mercedes as a stripper joke, but like a stripper name.
And it worked out. And thank you, drunk guy. I will say I had a similar experience to what you happened, where after the show, I was at the joke joint, and it was one of my first weekends. They used to give you a whole month hosting at the joke joint. It was wonderful. I mean, for all its flaws, I loved the way that they took care of new comics.
Yeah.
Because I was a new comic. And if you were good enough, they'd throw you guest spots on the weekends if you showed up. Then they'd get you when you'd get to host, you'd get to host for a full month. So you'd get 4 weekends. And I hit the fucking jackpot. Just by luck of the draw, the month they asked me to host, it was like Joe List, Tim Meadows was there, Greg Warren, and somebody else, Gary Veeder. Or Vider, I forget how you say his name. I said it right on stage. But it was one of those nights, and Barry Laminack was the feature. And I don't remember which headliner it was. It might have been Joe List. But this lady after the show goes up to Joe List. And we're standing like 1, 2, 3, after the show. She goes up to him. She's like, oh, my God, you are so funny. He was just starting to take off. She's like, you're going to be super famous one day, She goes up to Barry and she's like, you are hilarious. You keep doing what you're doing because one day you're going to be so funny. I can see you headlining one day, like, for sure. He's like, thanks. She walks up to me. She goes, comedy's hard, isn't it?
Whoa.
See, that's so brave to me because, like, there's only two choices. With somebody who presents themselves like you and has the energy that you have, there's only two choices of who they are as a person. Either choice A, you're a genuinely nice guy and it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Or choice B, you murder hookers and put them in the trunk.
Exactly.
That's the other archetype of that look.
Yeah. And everybody you get caught, they're like, he seemed so nice. Yeah.
He was nice.
He was a great neighbor.
He used to watch my dog for me. Like,
he held cookouts and
barbecues. Pulled my trash in when I was at work. He pulled my trash can in when he pulled his in.
He brought my trash cans in.
That's a nice fucking guy. And he got 17 kidneys in his fucking deep freezer.
I don't think he did it. Nobody with those glasses could be a bad person.
Swab the glasses. If it's DNA on the glasses, I believe you.
Swab the glasses.
Swab the glasses. Em. I know he needs them.
He's not wearing those for show. Those are functional glasses.
Yeah, once you got that little crease on the side of your face, it's a wrap.
Dan Hornstein functional glasses that's would be a great.
That's going to be my album name, Functional Glasses.
That's funny as shit.
That's actually a really funny name. I like that.
I like that a lot.
I like that a lot.
That's such a weird place to hit the 1 hour mark, too. Like, we're right up on
are
time.
We? Oh, shit, dude, that flew by.
It does. Like, it's a show about a nothing. And yet, we've managed to crank out an hour.
I had a really
this.
Good time, man. I'm glad I
dude,
came
dude, thank you for coming and doing this. I appreciate just love laughing with comics, man. It's hell yeah. This. Probably 2 weeks from today.
Okay.
This will be out.
Deal.
Or from tomorrow. Something like that.
But something like that.
Thanks for coming to do this. You got any Instagram, whatever you want to plug to the
any
people?
Shows you want
to
yeah,
plug?
My Instagram is at Dan H Comedy. And that's it. I got depending on when this is up. Hopefully, I'll have some shows there, but I'll post them on Instagram. So definitely follow me if y'all aren't following these two guys. These are two of my favorites in Houston. Follow them. That. Follow MPH Comedy. Doing fucking kicking ass out in the burbs in the Kingwood area and Humble and stuff. So
entertaining all the white
dude, there's
folk.
So much cool shit happening in
and
the city
some of the
right
black
now.
Folk. It's funny because he's got
cigar
like
rooms and
Jay's got
joints.
Like four venues, but they all are like completely wrong for my type of
oh,
comedy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and it's strange that I ended up with a black room for a year. I did Four Gents for a full year. Mm-hmm. You know,
God,
and now I'm doing the Soul Food place. It's another black establishment.
Hell yeah.
It's I don't know how I ended up with these gigs, but people love them.
Hell
they're
yeah.
Great.
You know, keep running them up. We need you.
Shit. Well, appreciate you coming
appreciate
and doing this, Dan.
Through Mr. Danny Dan.
Have to have you back sometime when Will's in the other chair so you can hear some more gay slurs on your episode. That's the element that's missing from episode 67.
He was with y'all. He got drunk. And when y'all were, where were y'all last? Y'all traveled somewhere.
Padre.
It was Padre Island trip. And he found a group chat that I was in with him from 3 years ago. Opens it, reopens it on Messenger and just types like, man, y'all are gay.
Fucking Will, bruh.